Tune to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sai Rams and greetings from Prashant Nilayam Ashram, the spiritual capital of the entire universe. A warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live, and this is a segment, Service Love in Action, and I'm Raghu from Team Radio Sai. Today is 8th of October, and it's a pleasant day here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram. From past couple of days, it's raining very heavily in the nights here at the ashram. At the very outset, let us all collectively offer our grateful and prayerful pranams at Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Let me today begin this segment with a beautiful experience with Bhagwan, which shows that to whichever God we pray, be it Rama, Krishna, Allah or Jesus, the prayers ultimately reach our beloved Bhagwan. This experience was shared by Brother Deepak Anand. He is a faculty member in the Department of Management at Swami's University in Prashant Nilayam campus. And this happened when he was doing his research in Swami's University in the late 1990s. One fine day, Swami came to Sai Kulanth Hall to give his session early in the morning at 6 a.m. Nobody was there in Sai Kulanth Hall, so Swami went inside the interview room. And Swami called for the research scholars. There were about 10 research scholars, maybe 10, more or less. And it was early morning at 6 a.m., so these research scholars got ready immediately and they came running to Sai Kulanth Hall and went inside the interview room. Swami was sitting in his chair and his eyes were closed. So one by one, the research scholars slowly came inside the interview room and sat in front of Swami. After all research scholars had come inside, Swami opened his eyes, saw that everyone had come inside, and again Swami, it seems, closed his eyes. And for the next 45 minutes, Swami sat on his chair with his eyes closed. There was no communication between Swami and the boys. The boys also sat in front of Swami with their palms folded. And after 45 minutes, Swami opened his eyes, looked at all the boys, smiled, and then Swami became normal. And Swami asked the boys, "Boys, what day is today?" Then the boys said the date and the day. And then Swami asked, "Boys, do you know many years ago what happened on this day?" Well, at that point of time, it didn't strike to boys what happened, so boys just kept silent. Then Swami himself said, "See, many years ago on this very day, bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And due to these bombs, there was a devastation on millions of people's lives. And today, to mark that occasion, thousands of people have gathered in Osaka in Japan and have lit candle, and right now they are praying to God that such a catastrophe, such a destruction should never happen in this entire humanity." And boys, I went there, listened to their prayers, and came back. Well, dear listeners, what you will learn from this episode? Now, the thousands of people who are praying to Lord in Osaka may not be Swami's devotees. They were praying to their own gods, their own deities. They may be praying to Jesus, few may be praying to Allah, and there may be few Swami's devotees also. But whomsoever they were praying to, it was Swami who listened to their prayers. Swami himself declared this. So, dear listeners, as I said, whomsoever we pray to, it's ultimately Bhagwan who answers our prayers. I hope this experience inspired you all as much as it inspired me. In fact, whenever I recollect such experiences, the faith in me to Bhagavan, the love for Bhagavan grows. And I hope it also does the same with you all. So I just shared with you all this experience. So today, as part of the segment Service Love in Action, I'll be playing for you a conversation with the devotees from northeastern part of India. And in conversation with them is a long-standing devotee of Bhagavan, Jean Massey. So let's listen to the conversation.
Sai Ram, Radio Sai listeners. This is Jean Massey and Naresh Sharma traveling throughout India documenting wonderful Sai service and Sai schools throughout all India. We are in Darjeeling, up in the mountains, in beautiful Darjeeling. And we are at the Sri Satya Sai Seva Kendra, or the center, the Sai Center of Darjeeling. And we have with us Mahendra Pradhan, who is the Gents Service District Service Coordinator for the Darjeeling Northern District, and also Rita Geary, who is the Ladies District Seva Coordinator for this district. We also have with us Mr. Ajneesh Rai, who is a former student from Swami's University and is an expert bhajan singer, and he's also got a very special project that he's going to talk to us about tonight that he and other former university students have started up in this area. We also have with us Pranish Tami, who is a reports and returns coordinator for the Sri Satya Sai Seva Kendra here in Darjeeling. We also have with us Miss Prakriti Geary, who's 17, an Abhavika student, and who's done service in Prashanti and sings wonderful bhajans here in the Sri Satya Sai Seva Kendra in Darjeeling. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Sai. Now, Mahendra, we probably should start with you because you are the service coordinator, the gent service coordinator. We'd like to start with you and Rita and kind of get a rundown on the wonderful service projects that we witnessed today. After we saw the Sai school, we went up in the tea mountainous areas where they're growing tea, and we saw the water project that the devotees did here, which we thought was beautiful. And you want to start by telling us a little bit about it in general.
Sai Ram, and thank you, Jean, for giving us this golden opportunity. Now, at this particular district, we've been doing lots of projects. And to name a few, we have the school being run by the organization and the water project, which is being done in two places in Darjeeling, which is dedicated to Swami on his 86th birthday. And again, the Midday Meal project, which has been publicized in a big manner. And apart from that, our regular service and activities includes the hospital seva, wherein we adopt patients coming from economically backward families. And we look after their medical treatment and also their rehabilitation later on.
Wonderful. Now, Rita, a great group of your sevadals participated in this service in the tea area there, adopting these villages and bringing the water project to them. And we saw, you know, we climbed down there today with you guys, and it was really quite an adventure. Would you tell us a little bit about how you got, what you actually did in the water project, and how you got the materials in that mountainous area?
Actually, Darjeeling here, in some of the area, there is very scarcity of water, and that village was facing the same. So gents and ladies, Sevadal, made the plan to distribute the water there, and we just gathered the materials. Actually, this thing actually done by Jan Sevadal. So we only went there and we just helped them. The materials, everything, whatever was the labor part of that project, they all are done by the Mel Sevadal and also the Sevadal from that side. And we just went and helped them.
Mahendra, what was really fascinating about it is you said you had little kids helping and you climbed up these mountainous areas. You want to describe how the water works and how the pipe was laid 300 meters and all that sort of stuff?
Oh, Gene, yeah. Actually, things like this, there's been involvement of lots of Balwika students and youths, particularly from the surrounding samitis. And now, for carrying the construction materials, the pipes and bricks and cements, all the youths, they hand carried the materials, all those in those terrains which you saw this afternoon. And for technical things like particularly the machines and the plumbers, we employed skilled labor, 2-3 people. Rest, all the works were done by the sevadars only.
And did the masons charge you extra for going up that hill like that?
No, they didn't. They didn't.
Well, it was quite a climb, though. You know, we went up there today, and I mean, it was very mountainous terrain, and we were actually on a tiny little footpath, climbing over rocks and over little streams and things. You mean they really carried the materials on by hand, all that up that way?
Well, Jin, for the people who are used to with the city life, it looks difficult. But for the hill people like us, it's a kind of everyday work. So it's not that difficult for us. So, yeah, we did that work, and you see it as impossibility, but then with Swami's grace and with our natural ability, we were able to complete that.
It's the grace of Swami that we could get success in that project. So we are also planning to do another water project in Gidabling, that's in another area. This year we are planning to do that.
Now, Pradesh, you were telling me a little earlier that you actually were there filming taking pictures and filming video of that. Can you want to give us some of your thoughts on it?
Sure. To tell you about the water projects, from our district, currently we have two water projects, one that you saw today, and the other is, I guess, 30 to 40 kilometers away from here. The name of the place is Shikari Basti. And the problem with these two villages were they were suffering from an acute water problem. And the people of the villages had to travel miles and miles just to fetch, you know, 2 buckets of water. Now, what we planned was, to provide water to these villagers who had to, you know, walk across the hill to get water. So with Swami's grace, we were able to, you know, collect funds and do this impossible task, if I am to say possible. We were able to make this possible.
Well, how did you do that? You had 300 meters of pipe you had to lay and hose and pipe. I don't know how you did that.
As Mahendra Das said, there were the villagers who were helping us. There were the youths of other samitis, the Balwika students. All of us got together, and with Swami's grace, as he already said, we were able to carry the long pipes, the rods, the materials, the raw materials, everything over the hill, across the hill, and slowly and steadily, we had skilled laborers who were there to, you know, survey it and give us directions as to how you're supposed to tie the pipe together and where you're supposed to turn it, curve it, and things like that. So it looked quite possible. It was a combined effort, actually.
Mahendra, you've got several large reservoirs up there that are collecting the water. You want to describe how we went to the source of the water, and we saw a little place where the water bubbles out, and you're collecting it that, and it you take it down to a big tank, and tell how that works.
And actually, things like this, the main source or the catchment area was the villages, the local people. They already had seen that place, and they found that place. And later on, we decided we are not using any artificial means like pumps and anything. Everything is coming by the gravitational force.
Gravity fed, and the locals found the source of the water for you. They told you where that little spring is.
Exactly. They told us, they showed us the place where the water source is there, and we went to the place and we met the people, the owner of the place. We had an understanding with him. In fact, we had an agreement with him also. So he had kindly agreed us to use the area for the water source.
And you made the masons and the and poured cement and everything and made those big tanks?
For maintenance, we have not employed anybody on hire. The local SAI units, the people out there are given the responsibility, and they are carrying out quite nicely.
So it's sustainable, and the devotees look after it for a long period of time.
Definitely, we are quite hopeful that it will be looked after quite well.
Now, you have a magnificent center here. It's really, really beautiful, and we heard some absolutely wonderful bhajans today. And so, Ajneesh, would you tell us, you know, where you're sitting right up front playing all these wonderful instruments and singing beautifully. You want to tell us a little bit about how you got to have such wonderful bhajans here?
Thank you, Jean. Basically, Darjeeling is gifted by very talented musicians, and I was born and brought up here. And I went to Puttaparthi to study after my ICSE. And I realized that just being born in Darjeeling gives you the abilities of music. And of course, being with Swami and singing bhajans there, that it the musical abilities just flowered. And then I went there as a total non-devotee, to be frank. But then I ended up trotting the globe and singing Swami's bhajans in the end. Swami used to call me a Darjeeling boy, my singer. And when I come back to this place, I find like people like Pranesh, Prakriti, and so many other very talented singers. Even the Indian Idol was from our place, Prashant Tamang. And our little girl here, Prakriti, she participated in the Chote Ustad and belonging to Bal Vikas.
Prakriti, tell us a little bit about how you sing bhajans in Bal Vikas and how you got involved in this, in singing bhajans here in the Mandir.
Actually, it's all because of Bal Vikas. I got this opportunity, and my family and even I came to know that I can sing. And I participated in a Bal Vikas bhajan only, like competition. So I stood first, and then I started, like, you know, singing bhajans and songs. It's like songs and like bhajans, they are like different things. Bhajans, it's just so mesmerizing, and you know, it makes me so, like, it makes me feel good when I sing. And songs, like, they are just, you know, commercial. And
you have other Bal Vikas students, are they learning bhajans like you are?
Yeah, everyone is interested in learning bhajans. And even in our, like, village, we have Bal Vikas, so all the students, they are interested in singing bhajans. You know, we have competitions here, bhajan competitions and all. So they participate in it, and even I teach them and I guide them. Even I learn from them also. So it's like everyone is interested in bhajans.
Now, Naresh, you were with us today, and you said you got invigorated by traveling up and down the mountain. You want to give us some of your perceptions of that wonderful water project we saw today?
When I studied in Dehradun, and Dehradun is quite a cold place, coming here reminds me of those days back there. And going through the mountains, it was, as Brother Mahindra said, he very mildly put it that we just, our Bal Vikas boys carried stuff around the terrain. I remember when I was taking each step, I was praying to Swami, "Swami, I have lots of work for you to do. Please take care of me, because this any step could be the end." But yeah, it was a fantastic thing to go around with these youngsters. Look at the amazing work they're doing over here. And I know there's lots of work that we have not been able to cover, but it's silently going on. And all I can say is, may Swami bless them always. May they do more and better.
You know, we saw one of the most beautiful schools of all we've traveled. We saw some beautiful children in the Sai school here in Darjeeling today. You want to talk about how you saw them?
Jean, I think I should be putting that question to you, because luckily for me, I have seen many such schools here. For you, this must be something new. So why don't you tell us what you feel about it?
I asked them if could I take a couple of dozen kids home with me. They're just the most beautiful children. They all look like little angels, You know, they really do. We came up here to Darjeeling, we're in heaven, and those are the little angels at this high school. They were so well behaved and so sweet, and they were chanting the Vedas and singing bhajans, and just really, and it's a beautiful school sitting on the edge of a mountain, and it's just like an idyllic, beautiful paradise almost. You see this beautiful school sitting on the side of a hill, and you go in and you see filled with angels, you know, is what I saw.
While conversing with one of the young people of the organization, they mentioned that most of these students, they come from really far off places, starting maybe early in the morning at 5:30, and you know how cold it is. And after finishing their school, by the time they make their way back home, which is again a longer way, it's nearly 6. So, you know, it's a 12-hour journey to get this education that Swami is giving them over here. It's fantastic.
And it is, to say again, it is a free education and given to these students that are from impoverished backgrounds.
Gina, I think I should add something about this school, and which is being looked after by Mr. Bashandar Rai. I think I should mention something about him, the person who is responsible for bringing the school to the present condition, or present status. He is a person who is suffering from full-blown cancer. He has a full-blown cancer, and he was rejected by a reputed hospital because his case was untreatable. And now he has out of two kidneys, only one kidney is functioning 25%. Means one and the other 75% is not working, his kidneys. Still, he's carrying on his work. Every day he goes to his school, every day he makes it to a point that every teachers are there, and the routine are carried on out as per the way it should be carried on. So that's really amazing, and I think it should be mentioned. Only Swami's grace, such thing can happen.
I agree. Now, we are here in Darjeeling, and we also went to the hospital today. And Rita, would you know, we had some lady, Sevadals, to go with us to treat. Would you like to talk about how you adopt people in the, poor people in the hospital that have no means of support? Would you talk about what the whole process involves?
Yes, hospital visit is an important seva for us, because in hospital, many people come from very far places, and they do not have any support and this thing, their relatives, and they are alone there. So we find out who is the needest person there, and we adopt him. And there are many units under this Darjeeling Samiti. So who is economically and physically fit units are there. We used to give them responsibility of that particular patient. So that unit carry out all his medical expenses, his food, everything, x-ray, whatever with the medical treatment they used to do. If they can't, then other units also help them. So in this way, we are carrying out this medical services.
We interviewed a man today that had previously had terminal cancer that you were working with. And now the doctor has said, I'm sorry, we won't even treat you because you've got a hopeless case. And yet, the Sai devotees adopted this man. You want to tell us about that, Mahendra?
Yeah, actually what happens, you know, only those people come here who have lost all the hopes. Only those people come. And similarly, this man also came to us. In fact, the ladies. We are only related with decision making. Actually, they are the people who go to the places and work. So they found out this person, and with complete faith in Swami, they took up the challenge. They did the treatment, and with his grace, he's okay now.
He's still with us. So the doctors didn't really, they missed one, I think, don't you think? Thanks to Swami, this man is still with us.
I think doctors have one excuse. Finally, when such things happen, they say there's something called miracle. So I think it's a miracle.
I think so, too. Now, I'd also like to talk today about this evening about what we saw today at lunchtime. We saw the little children come from the Sai school, walk up the hill, and have what in the Russian I thought was a fabulous lunch. And they were telling us that they eat like that every day. You want to tell us something about the number of people you're feeding? You're feeding a bunch of kids, not just from the SAI school, but from the poor kids from surrounding schools. That you want to tell us about that?
Yes, actually, this service is a daily service. So what we do is that the ladies from the different units under Darjeeling Samiti, they are given the responsibility. They have the routine work that today this unit, tomorrow that unit. In this way, all the ladies, sewadars, comes from that unit and they cooked food. And what is another our process is that if we have birthday, if we have someone's birthday, or we used to celebrate here, and that birthday trip we used to feed the children who comes here. And we are collecting rice, oil, vegetables, and some are sponsoring the sponsored rice. In this way, this is going on, and daily service is going on easily. We feel very proud and happy that God gave us this opportunity for us. And actually, this midday meal was the main idea of Mr. Mahendra Pradhan. He had a talk with his friend. He is a convener here now in this samiti, and he is a teacher of RKSP school, Ramakrishna school. And they talked, and they decided to do this in 2000. I think if you ask him how he got this idea, and this started in our center.
Okay, Mahendra, you're on. Tell us how it started.
Well, Jin, I have a feeling, I strongly believe that if you have the will, he gives you the idea and he shows you the way. And that's what had happened. We're just working in the morning, we're out on a morning walk. We're just talking, you know, strolling in there. And then he said, can't we do something for the students? Because he had felt that he had seen that in his school, things happening, there were students fainting while they're standing on the assembly line. So, and we talked, and he said, let's do something about the students.
You mean, wait a second, the students were actually fainting because they hadn't eaten in the assembly line?
Actually, yes, exactly. That's what was happening. A student faints, then he's taken to some place, and after he recovers, when the teachers asked him, okay, what was the problem? Then he said, I didn't have anything in the morning. So they come from such a far-flung places without eating anything. Naturally, such thing will happen. So that's how we sat together in our regular meetings and we brought up the subject. And especially I have, you know, Jin, I have a strong faith on our Mahila Vivag, the ladies' wing. They are the people who are actually working. So I asked them, if you can carry on this, we'll provide the provisions, but then the actual work needs to be done by your people. Then they said, yes, we'll do it. They welcomed the idea.
I saw today a huge amount of food in your kitchen down there. And then after you fed the SAI school students, there's about 60 of them, right? They had another 75 come after they left. They said, well, you know, we've got to clear this because of more stuff. I said, well, didn't everybody eat? And they said, no, we got another 75 students of poor students from surrounding schools that come there for lunch. I thought that was just fabulous.
It is, in fact. Sometimes we also find it unbelievable. I mean, how we find it, how things are going. But these days, the best part of this project is the effect it's having on the local people, the local communities. Now, everybody, whether a SAI devotee or a non-devotee, they're coming forward. And as you said, Mr. Ritagiri said, the people who are celebrating their children's birthdays or somebody is celebrating their marriage ceremony, wedding ceremony, something like that, they come here and they celebrate and they give special dishes on those days. So that's how the thing is going on till now.
You're basically, what you're doing is you're giving Swami, letting people know who Swami really is, and letting him see that it's not about you have to change your faith. Or, as a matter of fact, speaking of changing your faith, I saw at the village today where you had done the water project, I saw a statue of a Virgin Mary. It's a Christian village. And the man, as we're driving away, put his hands together and said, Sairam, you know, and so you're giving Swami, you're showing people who Swami really is by doing this wonderful service. Absolutely beautiful. And the whole community of Darjeeling can see the wonderful work that you're doing and know who Swami is.
Gene, it is said by the great ones in this land that if all the oceans of the world were converted into ink, it would still not suffice to scribble down the glories of the Lord. I think something to add to that is if the same can be said about Swami's Seva projects. We all know about the wonderful organization, the thousands of people involved, young people, devotees, Seva dals, not just in India, across the world. But I must say, there's a lot of activity that happens outside the organization, inspired by Swami, that we will never know about, where our cameras cannot go, because they happen in remote, remote places. And speaking with Brother Rajneesh, Ajneesh some time back, and he, I'm just revealing his secret, that they undertake such a project, him and a few other students, that I think he should share with us about.
Absolutely. You want to tell us about this this project that you and some other students from Swami's university have undertaken yourselves to do?
Gene, this started about 20 years ago when we were still students, about the year 1992, and that was the first time Swami in his discourse said that Grama Seva is Ram Seva. And what we decided during that summer holidays is we come back and instead of spending time in our homes, we take up a remote village area and then we try and do something about it. And we got together and the first project we took was Suruk. That is an extremely rural area. And the students from there had to take a very risky, you know, ropeway to come to a nearby primary school or even a college. So we decided to go across the river and we did the brick and mortar work. We literally dug up the land, laid the foundation. There were about a dozen of us students. And we built a wooden school for them. And that was how it started. Then later on, during the year 2002, we took up another village in Sangse. And then most of us had passed out from the institute. And then with the help of some donors from Kalimpong, they are called the Silent Sevaks, and with their help and a donor from Sangse itself, we built a school there. And what we do currently is we fund the running of the school. Basically, from our own pockets, we maintain a staff of around six people, five teachers and one headmaster. And we, of course, the question about salary comes up when you are maintaining a school. So what we do is all the students get together and we pay the teachers. And then every year, the batch of students who are currently in Prashanti, the hill students, they come up and they take up projects like building a toilet, you know, repairing a wall and having satsangs at the school so that the students get an idea of the Sai education. And that is how we have been running that school. And currently we have organized the whole setup. Because people ask, what are the students, after getting out of the institute, what are they doing? We hardly see them in the organizations. Swami has given so much to them. What are they doing? And so this is how we are trying to, you know, repay Swami. Of course, we could never repay Swami even an ounce. But we have founded a NGO called Saino, which means relation in Nepali. And since it's got the word Sai, I'm sure it will be a big success as far as our future activities will go on.
Now, Rita, you had a special project you wanted to mention.
Yes, we Darjeeling people, the special service that we are doing is that national highway cleaning from Darjeeling to Siliguri. So every year on 1st May, we have holiday. So all the devotees and sevadals from all the units throughout our area We used to go and clean the drainage along with that national highway so that it may protect our villages and places from landslide. So this is our special project we do every year on 1st May.
Wonderful service. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to thank you for joining us on Radio Sai from Darjeeling, up in the mountains of northern India. Thank you for joining us on Radio Sai. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Thank you.
Krishna. Krishna.
Krishna Janardana. प्रभु हृदय बिहारी
मीरा के प्रभु हृदय बिहारी
चोरा के बाद नवनीत चोर गोपाल चोरा यशोदा के बाद नवनीत चोर गोपाल